your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won. And won. And won. And won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. Your boy Q here with you as always, and hopefully you enjoyed the conversation that I had with 10 to Win from The Athletic on Monday's show, talking all things Gus Bradley's defense. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that one, Ted does a great job of breaking down film for The Athletic, does a really, really good job. So if you didn't get a chance to catch that out, make sure you do. It's a really, really good interview. Again, Ted breaks down film and kind of lets you know exactly what to expect as far as players and how they can evolve in this Gus Bradley defense, because something I've been talking about all offseason is that's the big question. That's the big elephant in the room. It's not about Derek Carr. It's not about, you know, Marcus Mariota. It's not about Deshaun Watson. I mean, the biggest conversation as far as the Raiders goes has to be that defense. And many people have said it, and I'll reiterate it, is that the best free agent that the Raiders picked up or will pick up this offseason, they've already picked up, and that's in their defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley. Now, he's got to go ahead and do his job, and he's got to fill that void, and he's got to be able to make this defense a lot better than what it was in 2020, because it was horrific. And that's not even the worst word I could use for it, but that lets you know how bad it was. And so Gus Bradley's got his work cut out for him. He's got to figure out how to get this thing turned around quick, fast, and in a hurry. So hopefully you enjoyed that conversation I had with Ted Nguyen from The Athletic. It was based off his piece that he did about Gus Bradley and simplifying the defense and how that can help him in his quest with the Raiders. But if you didn't get a chance to hear it, go back and listen to Monday's episode. I thought it was really, really good. Coming up on today's show, segment number 3, calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Didn't get to any of those calls or texts on Monday's show because of that conversation I had with Ted. It was in segment number 2 and segment number 3, so I had to put off the calls till today's show, but definitely going to go ahead and hit those, and that'll come up in segment number 3. Segment number 2, I got a conversation that I want to bring up, and I mean, it's getting close to the draft time. I know free agency's got to hit first, but one of the big things that Mike Mayock has really reiterated multiple times since being the GM of the Raiders is that he wants to find guys that love football, wants to find guys that are passionate about the game, want to find high character guys. And that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about high character guys, and I feel like it's about time. And we'll go through some of the drafts that Mike Mayock's been a part of, and also John Gruden since he's returned to the sideline for the Silver and Black, and just talk about high character guys. And that's great to have and all. The Raiders don't have enough car thieves on their team. They need to go into the draft, and it's about time where they get some car thieves, some guys with a little something in their neck, and then on top of that, they they could play the game as well. They can't just have, you know, the character and be the guy and look the guy and talk like they're the guy. They also got to be the guy. So we'll talk all things car thieves and choir boys coming up in segment number 2 of today's show. Here in segment number 1, we'll do news and notes of the day as we always do. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. The biggest piece of news, and I talked about it, touched on it on Monday's show, was the fact that Derek Carr could be potentially on the, you know, on the brinks, kind of on the eve of getting a contract extension. And this is all something that started with Adam Kaplan. He had told the Sports Grid and other multiple media outlets that he felt like Derek Carr was about to get a contract extension from the team. And there was, many around the league that believed that Derek Carr was about to get that contract extension, and that there was a chance that the Raiders could free up to like $10 to $15 million in cap space if they did give him a contract extension. So that was something I talked about on Monday's show and was saying, like, look, I'm willing to say give him a couple more years. He has 2 years left on his deal, 2021 and 2022, but wasn't too sure how I felt about a 4, 5, 6 year deal. Like you see some of these guys getting these super long-term deals, just didn't know exactly what they were willing to go and how many years they were going to give him. And on top of that, how much money? That's the most important thing. I know they're trying to lower the salary cap, but how much money are they going to invest in Derek Carr? Because a lot of these quarterbacks right now are getting paid stupid money. I mean, just stupid money. And look, Patrick Mahomes is over the $40 million a year mark. Okay. Deshaun Watson, he's got that high dollar contract as far as money per year once that actually kicks in. And of course, every other quarterback that's going to sign is going to sign for some big time money. So I was kind of curious about what they would be willing to give him. And so not that any of this is concrete. This is all still speculation and just a lot of conversation that's going on around the league. A lot of folks are talking about it. But Spotrac.com, my guy Michael Jannetty, who I've had on the show before, both here on the podcast and on my radio show on Fox Sports Central Texas. His website, Spotrac.com, that keeps track of all the contracts around the league and all that good stuff. He actually put out a tweet on Monday saying that Derek Carr's future in Las Vegas is soon to be extended as the 29-year-old closes in on a new contract with the Raiders. Carr holds a 5-year, $160 million projection in our system currently. And basically, the actual numbers were 5 years, $159.4 million, average salary, $31.8 million, which would rank ninth in the league as far as contract value and ninth highest among quarterbacks. And I'll say, $31.8 million, even though it sounds like a ton of money, is not a lot for what the quarterbacks are getting right now currently in the league. And, of course, you know, like I said, I use Dak Prescott as an example, and he's going to sign the franchise tag if he signs a franchise tag, which, by the way, today is the first day that teams can actually apply the franchise tag on anybody in the league. If he signs it, that'll be the second one in a row with the Cowboys. That'll be like $37 million that they have to pay him. So just think about that. He got $31 million on the franchise tag just a year ago. So if Derek Carr, that was going to be the average salary, 31.8, even though it sounds like a ton, is not really a lot. And I think that value is not too bad. 5 years, 159.4. And this is the deal. And he says on the website, we've selected the following players based on their age, contract status, and statistical production to compare Derek Carr to. And the players he had in there was Kirk Cousins, Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, and Ryan Tannehill. Cousins, 2-year deal, $66 million, average salary, $33 million. Age when signed, 31. Stafford, 5-year deal, $135 million, $27 million average salary, signed at age 29. Russell Wilson, 4 years, $140 million, average salary, $35 million, age when signed, 30. Ryan Tannehill, 4, $118 million, 29.5 average salary, age when signed, 31. So that averages out to the length, 3.8 years, value, $114.75 million, and average salary, 30.6, age when signed, 30.3. But that's nothing concrete. That's all just kind of speculation. And then, like I said, breaking down the other quarterbacks that have signed big-time contracts and averaging it out and kind of figuring out what Derek Carr's contract may look like. Like Vic Tafer put out on Twitter, everybody's just speculating. There's nothing to report on a possible extension for Carr. So, I mean, that's just, again, that's just the speculation. That's the conversation that's floating around the league right now. But thought it would be interesting to say at least what Spotrac.com has listed as what the potential contract could be for Derek Carr, just because that was one of the conversations and one of the questions I had on Monday. What would a new contract extension look like? So that's their estimation. So that's just, I think that was a pretty interesting little nugget that they had on Monday. How about this little nugget? How about Rich Gannon, former Raiders quarterback, won't be back on CBS. That was a report that was put out on Monday as well. They said that they're not retaining their number 4 NFL game analyst. And that's kind of surprising because Rich Gannon is really, really good at what he does on CBS. So I don't know if this was a CBS decision, if this was a Rich Gannon decision, but man, he is good. Now, I know CBS says Tony Romo, he's dope. Charles Davis, great. Trent Green, whatever. They've got a couple others that are just so-so. But, man, Rich Gannon was the dude, and that's not just because he was a former Raider quarterback, a former MVP, but he's really damn good at his job. So, I don't know. There's a lot of speculation on there where Rich Gannon could go. I do know when John Gruden was returning in 2018 to the sidelines for the Raiders, the number one guy to be his quarterback coach was Rich Gannon. But at that time, Rich Gannon said that is too much of a grind, and he wants to make sure he has time for family, and so he's just going to stay in the booth, and decided not to return or not to be on the sidelines as the quarterback coach. Now, as soon as I saw that tweet saying Gannon won't be back on CBS, I said, well, John Gruden needs to get on the phone and call him. I would love to have a guy like Rich Gannon on the sidelines in some capacity helping out with Derek Carr. Not trying to dog Derek Carr, but I think Rich Gannon trying to give him a little bit of his knowledge and his understanding and his want to would be very, very helpful. And if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers showed you anything from the Super Bowl and the way they won it, look how many former players they had on the sideline. Look at all the former guys that had played in the league and played at a very high level that were on that coaching staff. The more of that experience that you have, the better. And I know it doesn't always work out. Just because you play in the league doesn't always mean you're going to be a great coach. I've said that multiple times, but it worked out really well for Tampa Bay. You look up and down that coaching staff, and they've got a lot of former players on that squad. Of course, everyone thinks about Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich, but there's many more than that, including Larry Foote, inside linebackers coach. I mean, there's a bunch of them on there. Just go ahead and check it out. Like I said, I don't want to go through every single name, but trust me, there is a lot of coaches, former players on that Tampa Bay coaching staff. If the Raiders could find a way to get Rich Gannon on the sidelines and help out with Derek Carr, I would be all for that. Now, I'm not saying that that's the reason why he's leaving CBS or CBS is letting him go, but that would be great in my book. But again, that's just me. Also in Raider news, how about this one? Kemah Sivirand. I don't even know if I say his name right, but he was arrested in Houston on Saturday early morning for street racing. Yeah, street racing. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you at all. It's a damn shame, but that's what it is. Apparently, they said Sivirand initially stopped for officers but drove another mile before stopping. The police department says the incident started when officers noticed five cars racing on the freeway. Two other people were arrested. Officers say there were five cars racing, but they were only able to catch up to three. And if you're wondering, like, who is this Kemah Sivirand guy? He's the guy who was released by the Seahawks during training camp for trying to sneak a woman into the team hotel. Remember the undrafted free agent guy? And he signed with the Raiders practice squad in October? Yeah. Anyway, he's busted again. He's a guy who's a native of Houston, so he was back in his hometown, and he's facing felony evading charges. And I will say, as a guy who lives in Texas, and I've documented very well on this podcast how bad the weather was last week, Saturday wasn't just a walk in the park. I mean, Saturday, you know, especially in Houston, there's still a lot of issues going on in Houston. And I'm not saying it was covered in ice and super snowy, but at the same time, man, I mean, he really didn't have no business. None of those guys had any business racing on the freeway in those kind of conditions or whatever. But yeah, he got busted. So I'm not sure what the Raiders are going to do with him. I think he's a guy who's going to be a casualty anyway, but even with this note, I definitely would have no problem with them going ahead and releasing him. He's shown now with two incidences early on in his NFL career that he just doesn't get it. He doesn't understand what kind of privilege he has having an opportunity to play in the league, and it looks like he's just going to kind of squander each an opportunity. So if they go ahead and release him, I would have no problem with that, but he is facing felony evading charges. And my final nugget for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, just wanted to point you in the right direction and point you in the direction of a really good piece that's out on The Athletic by Vic Tafer. He does a really good job covering the Raiders. Anyway, this is about David Irving, and this piece is actually called Raiders David Irving Aims to Seize Fresh Start. Everybody Thought I Was Crazy, and he's talking about how much he enjoys the Raiders and how much he hated being a member of the Dallas Cowboys. One part of the article talking about John Gruden as opposed to Jason Garrett, who was in Dallas when Irving was there. He said, "Gruden is my type of coach. I couldn't say the same for Jason Garrett. Gruden can relate to his players because he knows what he's doing." I mean, if that's not a slap in the face, that's major. And I'm not thinking that he's saying that just because the Raiders signed him, because look, he was out of the building. He went on different free agent visits to different teams and ended up back with the Raiders anyway. Another piece of the article said, Irving said he then hit it off with head coach John Gruden and general manager Mike Mayock. "You've got some real people here who could appreciate a unique specimen like myself." And he said, "I am a bit different on and off the field, and they understand that. I am comfortable here. Not only that, man, but I see a team here with a bunch of good young players that have been missing a little leadership." And I'll tell you right now, I don't know how much of a leader David Irving could really be, but something I'm going to talk about in segment number two, get some guys with a little car thief to them, a little goon to them, a little something-something in their neck. That's what David Irving is. That's the kind of dude he is. He's a different animal, just like he said. I'm different on and off the field. It's okay to be that guy. It's okay to have that, you know, that little bit of, a little edge to him. Why not? Just say edge. It's okay to have that. You just got to be able to go out there and perform on the field. And I'm not saying be super crazy. I think the Raiders need some guys that have a little bit of David Irving kind of, edge to him. Now, again, he's got to go out there and perform. And my biggest problem with Irving is a lot of times he don't have the want to go out there and perform. So hopefully with the whole offseason and training camp with the Raiders, he'll be able to go out there and show what he really can be. He's still a young dude, and he's still capable of doing a lot of good things, and he loves Coach Rod Marinelli. So I just wanted to point you in that direction to go check out that article. I thought it was a really, really good one. Vic did a great job. Again, he's from The Athletic, and the piece is called Raiders David Irving Aims to Seize Fresh Start. Everybody Thought I Was Crazy. That's all I got for you in segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, we're going to talk car thieves and choir boys. Something that I've talked about on the show multiple times. Choir boys, they have. Car thieves, they need. And they also need car thieves that could play the game. That's all coming up in segment number two. Before I get into that, though, I do want to tell you about betonline.ag. If you're trying to dibble and dabble into the sports gambling, betonline.ag is the place for you. Your online sportsbook experts, they have everything. They have you covered in every single kind of sport. They even have like reality shows, TV shows. I mean, you can gamble on that. Anything that you can place a bet on, betonline.ag has it in a major, major way. You can open up a free account today by using the promo code Locked On. When you make your first deposit, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus just like that. You put a hundo in, you'll have 150 to play with. You put 200 in, you'll have 300 to play with. It's just that simple. Again, betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. If you're on social media, check them out at betonline_AG. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Simple as that. BetOnline.ag. They're also the proud title sponsor of my other podcast I do here on the Locked On Network. That's Locked On Bets with my guy Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com. We do that on the daily as well. So BetOnline.ag. Get hooked up with a free account and make that deposit and you get a 50% bonus when you use the promo code Locked On. BetOnline.ag. Segment number two, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to talk about car thieves and choir boys and really more attention to the car thieves because the Raiders have a bunch of choir boys. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way at all. But one thing that Mike Mayock has talked about since he's been the GM, and even John Gruden alluded to it, you know, you want to have guys that are passionate about football. You want to have guys that, you know, that they want to be the best at what they do. You want to have guys that have high character. And I get that. But I've said it so many times, and I can't take credit for it because I didn't originate it. But Eric Davis, he told me one time when we were on Radio Row, I believe it was in Houston, for that Super Bowl, when it was it the Falcons and the Patriots, and that's the one where the Falcons were up 28-3 and end up losing. But on Radio Row there in Houston, Eric Davis told me, and this is when he was a member of NFL Network, he said, you cannot, no, you know what, I'm lying to you. It was Arizona because Seattle was in the Super Bowl. It was Arizona and Seattle was playing New England, and that was the Marshawn Lynch, I'm just here so I don't get fined, press conference, all that greatness. And remember Russell Wilson threw the ball at the 1 yard line, which was stupid. And yeah, Seattle ended up losing the Super Bowl to New England. Yeah, anyway, another collapse by another team that was playing against New England. But anyway, that was the Super Bowl because he was talking about the Seattle Seahawks, and he told me straight up, I asked him about the characters and how Pete Carroll really does a good job of managing the characters, and he said, you don't win games with all choir boys, and you don't win games with all car thieves. You have to have a perfect blend of car thieves and choir boys to win games. So as the Raiders are getting closer and closer, and of course free agency still has to kick in first, and then the draft will be in April, but of course we're looking ahead. I mean, look, it's almost March. We're at the end of February right now. So as the Raiders are preparing for another upcoming draft, at what point do they go after a guy that may be a little edgy, that may have a little bit of questions about himself, but at the same time, you know, he's the best at what he does. He's that absolute dog. You know, he's one of those guys where people say, all the analysts will say, yeah, he's got a couple red flags here and there. You know, he may be a little bit of a hothead, or, you know, okay, I get it. You want to have as many great character guys. I get it. But at the same time, man, sometimes you need a guy with a little something to him. You know, I talked about David Irving in segment number one. Now, if you can get a guy with David Irving's edge, and really his edge, I mean, look, let's be honest about David Irving. He likes to smoke weed. And that's not a big deal to me. I don't care. It's not what I prefer to do. I don't do that. I drink. I like to drink. So what? But, and some people don't do that. Some people prefer to smoke weed like David Irving. And that was his big issue. He had a problem with the league because they didn't let you smoke weed. So, hey, to each their own. I'm not mad at him. He could be popping those prescription pills they give you on the sideline of the NFL game that is a lot worse than a little bit of weed. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to get political. I'm not trying to ruffle anyone's feathers. But I'll tell you right now, I know for a fact the pills they give you on the sideline to make sure you can get back in the game and go play are a lot more harmful to your body than a little bit of weed that David Irving was smoking. And so, yeah, he, you know, was that guy that went on, I think, Twitter or Instagram and was smoking weed and said he's done with the NFL and bounced. And then all of a sudden, like he said in that article from Vic Taffer, a year later, well, weed was okay. Weed was not something that they were testing for. When they were letting you know that they were testing for it. It wasn't a serious offense anymore. So that was the edge that he had. But I mean, guys that, you know, sometimes could be a little bit of, you know, a little edgy. I mean, again, you look at those Seattle Seahawks teams that we talk about. We talk about, you know, how the Legion of Boom. They weren't the Legion of Nice Guys. They were the Legion of Boom. Some of them were model citizens. Other guys, they were somewhat headaches. But when push came to shove and it came down to getting it done, particularly on that defensive side of the ball, they were about their business. Like Michael Bennett. I know a lot of people aren't big Michael Bennett fans because he's kind of edgy. But guess what? He was damn good at what he did. You know what I mean? And yeah, he had a little bit of run in and dust up with the police in Vegas. I get it. But I mean, for the most part, man, that dude is A1. You know, I mean, he was a hell of a player. He went out there and handled his business. So as I'm talking about this, and I just kind of want to go through a couple of the drafts that, you know, Mike Mayock's been a part of, and then even go back to 2018 when John Gruden and Reggie McKenzie were putting their things together. Let's just look at the ones that Mike Mayock, since he's still there and he's going into his third draft with the Raiders, I just want to talk about the guys that he's drafted and or been a part of, at least. So in 2019, really good draft. But they went and got Clee Ferrell at number 4. And look, I had no problem, and I said this on the show when they were making this draft, I had no problem with them getting a good foundation base and getting a lot of guys that were actually, you know, the high character dudes, because I felt like they needed some leadership and they needed a lot of high character guys in the locker room at that point when they were trying to rebuild this thing. So Clee Ferrell, okay, they got him at number 4, high character dude. Josh Jacobs, number what, 24, high character dude. Jonathan Abram, number 28. I mean, he has the talk like he's somewhat of a goon. He walks the walk like he's somewhat of a goon, like he's got that edge to him. But I don't really think he does. I think he's kind of more of a showman. You know, he's trying to put on a show. Trayvon Mullen, high character dude. Hunter Renfrow, definitely a high character dude. Max Crosby, high character dude. Isaiah Johnson, to be determined. Don't really know too much about him. He hasn't really gotten too much burn. Foster Moreau, high character guy. And then Quentin Bell, not even on the roster, and he was a high character guy. That was 2019. And again, I'm not disrespecting any of these guys. I think that they all have a really good place on the team, and I think that they're really good in the league. They're going to be good in the league. You don't have to worry about them getting in trouble. I get that. It's okay once in a while to get a little bit out of your comfort zone. So in 2020, the draft, Henry Ruggs. Okay, he was the number 12 overall pick. He's a high character guy out of Alabama. Then they start getting a little edgy. Damon Arnett. Only problem with Damon Arnett, as much as I liked him and I liked his character and I liked what all the reports that we were hearing out of training camp, he wasn't able to stay on the field. So it's great if you're an edgy goon, got some something in your neck, and you know. But if you can't perform and you can't get out on the field, well then, I mean, you know, you're not really good to anybody. How about Lynn Bowden Jr.? Yeah. He's not even on the team. Remember, they traded him to Miami. You want to talk about a dude with something in his neck? Lynn Bowden's got it, but he's got it for another team. He's got it for Miami. Brian Edwards, from everything that we hear, he didn't really get too much, not much burn on the field. He's a high character dude. Tanner Muse, he got no burn on the field. High character dude. John Simpson, the guard out of Clemson, he's a high character dude. Amik Robertson, he's got a little edge to him, but guess what? Didn't see any of him on the field at all. That's the two drafts that Mike Mayock's been part of. 98% of those guys are high character dudes. One guy is no longer on the squad that has a little something in his neck, and another guy can't stay on the field in Damon Arnett. So my point is, there's a lot of dudes in this draft that can go. And if you look up and down and you look at these rosters of teams that are getting it done, I mean, look, I know everyone hates Antonio Brown because of what he did when he was a member of the Silver and Black, but he just went and won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we all know he's got edge. He's got edge. He's got something in his neck. And I'm not going back and saying that, hey, you know, should have kept Antonio Brown around, because obviously that wasn't going to work. But I've brought up Odell Beckham Jr. before, and people are like, oh, that's the wrong wide receiver. You don't want him. He's a problem child. I'll tell you, we all have an opportunity to change our opinion, and I'll be the first one to say that I can change my opinion, or I have changed my opinion, and I'll say that I'm wrong about something. Someone asked me a long time ago about, hey, what do you think about the Raiders trading for Odell Beckham Jr.? I was like, nope, been there, done that. Don't want to deal with that kind of headache. Don't want to deal with that kind of diva. You know what? I would love to see a dude like Odell Beckham Jr. I'm not necessarily just saying him in particular, even though I brought him up before. I would love to see a dude like that, with that kind of character, with that kind of edge, with that kind of give me the ball. I don't care if it makes Derek Carr uncomfortable. I really don't. I want a guy to go to the quarterback and be like, damn it, give me the ball. I'm open every time. And that's what wide receivers do. The great ones, they want the ball as much as possible. I'm okay with that. I heard Amari Cooper tell some Dallas media one time, oh, I only want about 6 targets a game. I don't need any more than that. Like, who does that? That's like me telling someone who's like, hey, Q, how often do you want to be on the radio? Oh, just a couple times a week. I don't need to be on every day. Oh, just give me a 1-hour show. I don't need to do 3 hours. Like, hell no, I want to be on every day, all day. If I could do 4 radio shows a day, I would. Don't tell the wife. She probably wouldn't like that. But still, I'm just saying, that's the kind of guy I am. Like, I feel like I can do it all day long and you can't tell me nothing. I want a guy that just wants it. Give it to me. You know, give me the rock. Give me the pill, man. I can get it done. You know, I just don't see that guy on the Raiders that just stands out and is just so, you know, he could be, like I said, a little bit demonstrative. And that's okay. I don't mind passion. And I brought this up before. A lot of guys will see an Odell Beckham Jr. and say, oh my God, he's throwing a fit on the sideline. But then they'll see Tom Brady slamming his helmet and screaming at his teammates. And they'll say, oh, he's so passionate. He's so passionate about the game. No, Odell Beckham Jr. is passionate too. He just looks different. You know what I mean? He does it in his own way. Like I brought up guys like Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant, I used to get fired up watching Dez get fired up. Because that gets me going. The Raiders need someone like that. They need someone who's going to be up and down the sideline and be pissed off. Who was it one time? Oh, Jared Cook. Remember back when Jared Cook would get angry and look like he's about to fight his own guys on the sideline? That was okay. Jared Cook was like the best damn player that the Raiders had at one point. Now he's in New Orleans doing his thing. But Jared Cook used to bring that edge and that fire to the sideline and fire to his teammates. That's what they need. They need some guys with some fire, some edge, some want to, you know, some hey, we're not, we need to be better than this. Like Nelson Aguilar spoke up after that one loss to, what was it, Miami that he got mad about? Okay, well, who's the other guys that got mad the rest of the games where they were blowing late? Against the Chargers, against Miami, against Kansas City. Who was the guys flipping out then? That's who I would have been. I'll tell you right now, I would have flipped out a long time ago. And that's okay. I always tell everyone, when I flip out, at least you know. At least you know I'm the loudest dude in the room. At least you know that what I'm thinking. It's the guy in the room and back in the room that's quiet and don't say nothing. It's the guy that you got to worry about in life. That's the guy you got to worry about. Not the guy like me that's loud and is going to tell you what's on his mind all the time. I might get on your nerves because I'm going to tell you about it and I'm going to be loud about it. But that's okay. Let's go back to 2018 real quick. Colton Miller, that was the first pick of John Gruden's return. PJ Hall, no longer with the team. He had no edge to him. He didn't even have no work ethic. That's why he got booted out of Oakland and now is in, Houston? Okay, he didn't even make it to the promised land, Las Vegas. He got to Las Vegas and got cut. Brandon Parker, well, we know he ain't got no edge to him. We're still trying to hope that he could become a good offensive lineman for the Raiders. Arden Key, he's a little edgy, but he just is not a very good player. He's just not great. Nick Nelson, I thought he was a good player. Cornerback that got injured before the draft, and I thought the Raiders got a steal with him in the fourth round, but he's not on the team no more. Mo Hurst, he's a gentle giant. He don't have any edge to him. Johnny Townsend, the punter, he ain't even on the team. Azeem Victor, he had a little bit of edge to him. He was like the linebacker out of Arizona, right? He had a little bit of edge to him. Guess what? He ain't on the squad. Marcel Aitman, he's like a career practice squad dude. You know what I mean? You're going to find him on some glorified 7-on-7 team pretty soon. I mean, he is what he is, whatever. He was decent when he was at Oklahoma State, but he's just not that guy. So all those guys that have been drafted since John Gruden have been back, none of them are guys that people say, well, you know, he's a little bit questionable. He's got a little bit of, you know, got a couple character flaws. Look, man, every once in a while, you're going to need to go and just go out there and get a guy with a little bit of character flaw. So what? Let him have a character flaw. Now, I'm not saying you want a guy that's going to go out there and be a menace to society. I'm not saying go get that guy. You know, don't go get Old Dog from Menace to Society. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying go get you someone with a little bit of passion, a little bit of fire, a little bit of edge to him. Guys that will challenge guys. So much nice guys and hugs and kisses and kumbaya and all that stuff, man. Look, it's good to have those dudes, but this is football. Football is one of the most violent games. It's one of the most passion-filled games. I mean, it's one of those things, man. Like, who's going to have that, and this is crazy, but who's going to have that Tiger Woods edge to him? You know, when Tiger was like dominant, not only did he want to win the tournament, he wanted to beat the brakes off you. Who's that guy on the squad? Who's the guy who wants to just beat the brakes off you? That's what the Raiders need, a dude like that. And I know it's hard to compare an NFL player to a golfer, but you want to talk about a dude with edge. I know he might have kind of held it under and not made it so obvious, but I did watch that special on HBO, and I don't know if you saw it, but I saw it, and that dude had edge. That dude had a little, you want to talk, he had a lot of something in his neck. I ain't mad at him at all. So here's to this draft, hoping that the Raiders go out and maybe get, like I said, Damon Arnett. I like his fire and his passion. I just don't, he's got to learn to play the game and stay on the field. That's my biggest problem with him, you know, but he would be an ideal guy, especially at that corner position. He's got that old school Raider corner feel to him. He's just got to be able to stay on the field. He's got to learn that. And now he's going to be in Gus Bradley's scheme where he's going to be asked to play more zone where he's really a press cover guy. So we'll see how that works out. See if he learns that sooner rather than later. But that's really all I got for you for segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. More car thieves, please. Less choir boys. And again, that's not a disrespect to any choir boy that the Raiders have, but You got to have a good blend. Eric Davis said it best. You win with Car Thieves and Choir Boys, not one or the other. It's got to be a blend of both. So coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. Before I get into that, though, I do want to tell you about rockauto.com. They're a family business. They're serving auto part customers online for 20 years. What you got to do is go to rockauto.com, shop for the auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And please believe they have everything. Engine control parts, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet. It doesn't matter what you're doing to your car, if you're trying to get it fixed up or if it's just a car that you drive every single day and you need to change the oil in it. They have everything you need, and it's just a few easy clicks away, and it's delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com, the catalog is unique and super easy to navigate. You can see all the parts available for your vehicle. You choose the brand, specifications, and most importantly, the prices that you prefer. That's right. The prices at RockAuto.com are always super low, the same for professionals as it is for do-it-yourselfers, so there's no reason to spend up to twice as much for the same parts. Go to rockauto.com right now. Check out the parts available for your car or truck. While you're there, write Locked On Raiders Podcast. That's how they know that I sent you and that I'm doing my job. It's in a little box that says, how did you know about rockauto.com? Well, Q told me about them. Great selection, super low prices, all the parts your car is ever going to need at one spot. rockauto.com. Segment number three is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That is the number. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, you can, at your boy Q254. I don't always be able to get those kind of tweets onto the show just because I got so many calls and texts that I want to get to, and I don't want those to get lost in the shuffle. But like I said, you can hit me up on Twitter, at your boy Q254. I definitely appreciate that. Let's go ahead and start things off with a call. Before we do that, let me go ahead and sound the alarm one time. This call is coming from No Hatin' Raider from Las Vegas, and you know by the sound of the music, he's a new booty. He's calling in to talk about something he's pretty frustrated about when it comes to the Raiders, and this is based off of email. This isn't based off of anything that they're doing on the field. This is based off of email he received from the team. Here he is, No Hatin' Raider from Las Vegas, new booty here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Q, how you doing? This is No Hatin' Raider from Las Vegas. Hey, just wanted to check in with you real quick. You know, I'm a big fan of the show. I listen every day. You know, shout out to everything you do for Raider Nation, man. We appreciate it. But, you know, there's something I'm a little frustrated with. I just got an email. I'm a season ticket holder from Oakland here now in Las Vegas, follow the team out here. And I just got an email saying that they're charging the PSL holders to tour the stadium. They're charging us $59 and $80 to tour the stadium, and we don't even get to visit our seats. This is ridiculous. Like, the whole time they kept promising us, letting us know that we were going to be the first ones to tour the stadium first, and then now they're trying to nickel and dime and charge us for it? Come on, man. I already paid $25,000 for these two seats on the in the end zone. I ain't got time for this. It's ridiculous. Nickel and dime the PSL holders, man. Go Raiders. But they better do something real quick, man, because I'm itching, you know, to sit in my seats, and now you're trying to get me on the backside. That's it, Q. Talk to you soon, bro. Stay up.
There he goes. No Hatin' Raider. Great call and a very legit complaint. Very legit complaint, man. You spent a whole lot of money, and you still have to pay almost $100 to tour the stadium. Yeah, that kind of stinks. And I get it, man. It's a business. It's always, I tell you all the time on the podcast, it's always about the money. I let everybody know, and anybody who knows, who wants to ever listen, it's always about the money. But when you spend that kind of money that you're talking about for PSLs and you're a season ticket holder, I think at the very least, you should be able to get to tour the place. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Maybe after, I don't know. I don't even know what the right answer is that, but I do understand your complaint, and I think it's very, very legit. So thanks for calling in, and please don't let that be your last call, man. I know you're frustrated with the team, but don't be frustrated with the show, homeboy. Call the show and give me your feedback, man. Definitely love to hear from you. No Hatin' Raider out of Las Vegas. Next up is a text from Lost Coast Raider. Hey, Q. Lost Coast Raider here. Quick question for you. We need an alpha dog, as you say, and I totally agree. Do you think a team can have too many alpha dogs? Not sure if it's a thing, but say we got 3, 4, 5 alphas. Would they clash, or would it be an elite team? Just was wondering what you thought. I don't really have an opinion because, well, I don't know. Thanks, man, for holding it down. You're an amazing guy. Keep it up, bud. Thanks for keeping my ears open. That's from Las Coast Raider. And I'll tell you, I don't see a whole lot of teams with 3, 4, 5 alpha dogs. I mean, I really don't. But, I mean, I guess you could have them if you have a couple spread out on the offense and a couple spread out on the defense. I guess that would be, you know, something that you can look at and say, yeah, that works. For example, the Super Bowl champs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady's obviously an alpha dog. And Devin White at the linebacker position, alpha dog. Jason Pierre-Paul, I think he's a damn good player. I wouldn't consider him an alpha like that, a guy that could just command the whole locker room. But I think he's up there. I'm not trying to slight him at all. You might be able to throw JPP in there. He might be that third guy. I guess it's possible to have that many alphas. We see it in basketball all the time when you see teams that have, you know, dream teams like current Brooklyn Nets with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden. Those are all three alpha dogs. But in football, I guess you can do it. You just don't see it that often because usually those are the highest priced guys of the highest priced guys. So I guess to answer your question, it's possible. You just don't see it that often. So thanks so much for that text. Appreciate you. Next up is a call from Jake in KC. He's calling to ask a question about Raiders backup quarterback Marcus Mariota. Here he is, Jake in KC.
What's up, Q? What's up, Raider Nation? It's Jake from Kansas City. I just got a quick question about basically just your opinion. I was kind of thinking about, you know, how we didn't use Marcus Mariota that much or at all during the season except for the game where Derek Carr went down. I'm just wondering, do you think it's a possibility that we didn't use him because of COVID-related reasons, as if, like, say we were using Mariota in, like, a goal-to-go situation, and he breaks his ankle, which I know is a risk any play for any player, but breaks his ankle, and then that same week, DC tests positive for COVID, and now you're out your starting quarterback and your backup quarterback and left with Nathan Peterman. I don't know. It's just kind of a random thought that I had listening to Friday's podcast, wondering why people were wondering why we weren't using Mariota, or we're all wishing that we'd maybe showcase him a little bit to boost draft stock or whatnot. But I mean, so I'm a little curious about that. What kind of what you think on whether or not we held him out because we didn't want him to get hurt in case DC tested positive for COVID and we're out of a quarterback for a week or two. Yeah, that's it. Just let me know your thoughts, Q.
There he goes, Jake and KC. Really good question. I don't think that was the case. I don't think that they were holding Marcus Mariota back because of COVID and just in case he'd be that emergency guy. I just don't think that, well, I know he wasn't healthy the whole season. I think after he did get healthy, they chose not to use him. And then they used him that week 15 game against the Chargers because they had to when Derek Carr went down. And then they never went back to him. And I think that was a mistake. I really do. If you want to know who the COVID guy was, I think that was Nate Peterman. And not that anyone, including myself, gets excited about Nate Peterman. I just think he's a waste of a guy. I think they held on to three quarterbacks for that exact reason because of COVID, and they might do that again this year, or maybe John Gruden just loves him some Nate Peterman and wants to hold on to him. I don't see it. I have no idea what he sees in Peterman, but I don't think that they would give Marcus Mariota that big-time money just to be the COVID guy, you know, just in case. But that's just my gut feeling. I mean, that's not based on anything concrete. You could be spot on. I'm not seeing it, but you know, it's a very valid question, and I think that they did themselves a disservice by not using him more. And if his contract wasn't as much as it is with the salary cap going down, I would suggest that they hold on to him just to use him in the offense and make him another part of the weapon or, you know, weaponry that they have and make that offense that much better. But I just think with that salary and the fact that the salary cap is going down, it's almost impossible to keep him. But again, we'll see what happens. Maybe they decide to keep him anyway. We'll see. Next up is a text from the new Jay Wash. He hasn't texted in a while. He said, I used to think the Rooney rule should be called the Al Davis rule, but after looking at the coaches hired, the Davis rule wouldn't apply. Al Davis actually hired people of color and women. That is from the new Jay Wash. And yeah, I mean, look, and I've said it, I've been very vocal about the Rooney rule as a black man. I look at the Rooney rule in the NFL and I think it's a joke. I really do. And you're right. It should have been the Al Davis rule because he was way ahead of the curve. He was a guy that was hiring, you know, women. He was hiring minorities. He was hiring people just based off what he felt their ability was, not what they look like at all. I mean, he was way ahead of the curve. And I know the Rooneys were good at that as well, but Al Davis was, he was the first to make it happen. So yeah, it should always be the Al Davis rule. But I'll tell you, man, and I've asked John McClain about this. I talk about him a lot from the Houston Chronicle because I have him on my show every Thursday. I asked him about the Rooney rule, and he told me straight up, like, Q, you can have all the rules that you want in the league until the ownership wants to put people of color in a certain position, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the rule is. There's always a way to skirt around it. Just like you see teams all the time, they have a guy in mind that they want to go hire, and they go and hire him. And yeah, they might go and interview Rodney Pete, or they might go and interview, you know, insert black guy's name here, T. Martin, or they go and interview Mike Singletary, or they'll go interview, you know, someone else, you know, and then they'll just go, okay, now we're going to go hire this guy that you never heard of. But they satisfy the Rooney rule. I just kind of think it's a joke, man. Until everyone's on board and says, hey, you know what? I don't care what the guy looks like or the woman looks like. I just want to base it off of ability. Then it's just going to be one of those things that, you know, it's just like EEO, you know. And I use my life for examples a lot of times because this is just, that's all I know. And I got a job one time as a night guy at a radio station, Q97 in Fresno. It was my first full-time gig that was not overnights. It was 7 to midnight. And I remember I interviewed with the guy. I already worked. It was Tommy Del Rio was my boss. I already worked at the station. I was a part-time guy. And our night guy left. And so he said, hey, I think you'd be really good at nights. I want to hire you for it. And I said, okay, great. Well, I got to interview a couple of people to satisfy the EEO, which is, you know, equal employment opportunity thing. Well, I'm going to interview these guys and then I'll call you in like a week and hire you. And that's exactly what he did. And he just hired me. It's not like, you know, it's not like the people that he interviewed outside the building have a chance because I was going to be the guy. Not because I was the greatest guy, but because I was already in the building. He knew me and he probably, you know, slighted me on my pay anyway. Who knows? You know how that goes. But still, I mean, it's just, that's what it is. People will do whatever they have to do to satisfy whatever rule is in place before you're supposed to hire someone. And then they'll go hire whoever they want to. And that's just the bottom line of how it's going to be. That's why I always thought that the Rooney rule is a joke. So I get what you're saying 100%. And I don't really know how to change it. I think Bleacher Report is doing a special right now on the Rooney Rule and why it's not working in the NFL. But I could tell you why it's not working. I don't have to watch a special. Owners aren't hiring people that they're not familiar with. And a lot of the people that they're not familiar with are people of color that aren't in the same circles that they're always in. That's just what it is. You know, now if they hang out in that circle and they're friends with those owners or people in position to hire, then it's a lot easier to say, hey, I'll go hire that guy because I know I'm familiar with them. I'm comfortable with them. People hire people that they're comfortable with and they know. Again, I've said it so many times as I'm applying for another job right now. And I'm applying for a job in Las Vegas. I'm going out of my way to apply for a job. I've never, ever got a job that I've applied for. So that lets you know that I probably won't get the job because I'm applying for it. But it's just, I've never applied for a job that I got. I've always gotten jobs because people just called me and offered me a job, including this one here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Simple as that. Matter of fact, I didn't even know David Locke and he called me and offered me the job. I didn't apply for this job. I just got it. So, I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. That is what it is. I guess that's the best way to sum it up. So thank you so much for that text, man. Definitely appreciate you. I got time for one more call. We'll take it from East Bay T. He's calling to talk about the question we had from Friday's show, the one that Brother Marquise in the 305 he threw out there about having a top three offense or a top 17 defense, and has some really good numbers to back it up. This is a great argument for defense. Here's East Bay T.
Hey, Q, what up? It's East Bay T. Hey, man, listening to the show this morning on my way to work, and good show, good segment number two, the question about top three offense. Interesting that top three was chosen because I was looking at Pro Football Reference, and it's purely statistical information, but, you know, Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2019 on Pro Football Reference, they're ranked as the number three offense in the league. They go out and add Brady and Gronk, and guess what? 2020, they're ranked as the number three offense in the league again. But you know what the difference was? They had ranked 29th in defense in 2019, and 2020 has them ranked eighth in defense. The difference they made in defense is what took them from being 7-9 in 2019 to being 11-5 in 2020. So I think if you get an offense that's up in the top 5 or 10, but your defense is ranked in the last in the league, you're never going to win a championship. You got to get your defense up. And you've been saying it, and others been saying it for a long time. Man, we've got a team offensively that just with a few little tweaks can bring it together offensively and do something. But without D to back them up, we're never going to go nowhere. So I just wanted to throw that in. Thanks for the time. Hope you and the family are staying safe and staying warm. And we'll talk to you again soon. Peace out, Raider Nation.
There he goes, East Bay T. Great way to break it down, my man. Really good research on that. And I think everyone knows where I stand as far as the defense goes. It's got to get better. And to think that Tampa Bay was in the 20s and improved to top 10, and you saw what they did against Kansas City in the Super Bowl, that is a great example of what the Raiders need to do. Now, I'm not saying just because you have that kind of turnaround that all of a sudden you're going to go and beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl or you're going to be able to, you know, dominate any Super Bowl, because other times, you know, a team like the Chiefs can come out on top. But I'll tell you, that gives you an absolute great chance. So I like the fact that the Raiders are the top 10 offense right now. Do they need to continue to improve? Absolutely. They need to still evolve that offense, but they definitely drastically need to improve that defense and get that up there. You know, I've been talking about top 17, top 18, and I'd be happy with that. But, you know, maybe you do need to improve more than that. Maybe if you're only going to be, like Brother Marquise said, and to his credit, only a top 10 offense, then maybe you do need to improve to a top 10 defense as well. But I would take my chances. I would take that as a good starting spot if they were a top 10 offense and improved to, like, top 15 defense. I would that would be a great direction to go. Would love to see Gus Bradley do that in year one. I don't know if that's what's going to happen, but man, that sure would be a great thing if he was able to do that. So thank you so much for that call. Appreciate you. And again, great research on that. Still got a text from Raider Rob in Pittsburgh. Got a call from Raider Down Under from Sydney, Australia. A text from Jason from Idaho. I'll get to all those tomorrow, as well as more feedback off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. I will tell you, coming up later this week, I teased it on Monday, I have a really, really good interview talking about the NFL draft and some players that could stand out and maybe help the Raiders get this team, especially that defense, turned around sooner rather than later. Some players, how they fit in Gus Bradley's defense. I can't wait to bring that to the show. Definitely going to be a really good interview that you're not going to want to miss. So that's going to come up a little bit later in the week. So that's all I got for you today. Appreciate all the calls. Appreciate all the texts. Appreciate all the feedback. And every time someone chimes in and listens to the show and maybe tells someone about the show and says, hey, give it a listen, I appreciate that as well. So Raider Nation, stay good, stay healthy. Make sure you wash your hands, wear your mask, social distance, do what you got to do. And most importantly, like I end every show, as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.